Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start today with a continuation of an article in AARP, the magazine, Henry Winkler's Six Lessons of Reinvention. And we are up to lesson number 3. So, post Fonz, the actor, typecast dyslexic, too nice for words, struggled to find meaning in work. Then, along came friends and fate, therapy, patience, and his first primetime Emmy. So, as I say, this is number 3. Always say thank you. End of Winkler's first walk in the desert began in 1994 when Saturday Night Live cast member Adam Sandler dropped Winkler back into pop culture relevance by name-checking author Fonzarelli in his wildly successful The Hanukkah Song. Winkler followed up by calling Sandler to thank him for the mention, sparking an unlikely but immediate and lasting friendship. Adam Sandler is shy. Adam Sandler probably has ADD. Adam Sandler does not dress well. Winkler states flatly, and Adam Sandler is brilliant and loyal. Sandler ended up casting Winkler as Coach Klein in his hit comedy, The Waterboy, 1998. Since then, Sandler has put Winkler in several of his films, including Click, in which he played Sandler's father. Winkler narrows his eyes in an expression that should really be his alone and riffs on the source of his connection with Sandler. Loyalty was a founding rock on which I built the Fonz. He really took care of those boys. Ricky, Potsy, Ralph, no matter what he said to their faces. And again, for just a second, the Fonz lives. Then Winkler tilts his head and is back. He's loyal, too. I just saw Adam in New York City 2 weeks ago taking his daughter to drama camp. Great family man. Lesson number 4. If you can't act, write. Around the year 2000, though, when Winkler again wasn't getting roles in television or film, he took a chance on a new kind of work. A friend suggested, hey, write children's books. At first I said, I can't do that. I can't read. I can't spell. How am I going to write a book? But I was introduced to the writer, Lynn Oliver, and we created a process together. Together, Winkler and Oliver developed the character Hank Zipser, who made his debut in 2003. Just like the young Winkler, he is a boy struggling with dyslexia. He's funny, capable, and popular. Just terrible in school. 28 books later, the Zipser series is a fixture in the children's book market here and in the UK, where it was made into a TV series with Winkler playing Zipser's favorite teacher. Winkler even promoted dyslexia awareness in the UK, and for that, in 2011, Queen Elizabeth named him an honorary officer of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire. Lesson number 5. Find your best self. Eventually, good roles started to crop up. In 2003, Winkler started playing Barry Zukerkorn, a hilariously incompetent lawyer on the cult TV series Arrested Development. Around that time, however, Stacy learned she had breast cancer. Her health crisis unearthed a crisis for Winkler, too. As he tells it, at the moment when he should have been most present for his love, he withdrew. I went to her chemotherapy infusions, but my support consisted of falling asleep in the chair, he admits. I was not there. I'm not proud of that. In the years that followed, Winkler decided to explore what had happened to him. He committed to undergoing therapy as a means of exploring the traumas of his childhood, the demands of his old-world parents, and the feeling that he was stupid. I had covered that up with a Chernobyl-like layer of cement, and I let it sit, he says. I've spent years digging in, jackhammering that cement into small pieces. Lesson 6. Stay at the table. His return to acting picked up speed. Over the past 2 decades, Winkler has appeared in more than 100 television shows and movies. He even snagged a Daytime Emmy in 2005 for his work voicing a part in a children's show, none of which meant as much to Winkler as the break he caught in 2016 when he was cast as the obtuse, arrogant, yet still likable acting coach Gene Quasinot in HBO's Barry. At the mention of the show, Winkler rolls his eyes back, shakes his head, and declares, "Barry is a miracle." Winkler, who had never won a primetime Emmy despite several nominations, was awarded one after Barry's first season. In his acceptance speech, he said, "If you stay at the table long enough, the chips come to you." He still revels in the accolade. "Actors sometimes say, 'I don't really care about the winning,'" says Winkler. "I have my Emmy or my whatever, and it's a doorstop in the bathroom." They're lying. As we wind down, the house remains abuzz with dogs and small children, and Winkler is entranced. Standing there, hands in pockets, he's asked what further advice he would give to readers. "Don't think about what you don't have," he says. "Embrace and enjoy what's in front of you." And what's next for him? Is he still keen on work? "I have my work and writing," he said. "When will the switch flip? When will the dial turn me down?" He shrugs. "I still have the energy." He smiles at the thought of work before he turns back to what's in front of him, the people, and the life he loves. This article was by Tim Chiarella, who is a longtime Esquire writer and a National Magazine Award winner. His last cover story for AARP, the magazine, was on Jeff Bridges in June and July. Now, in that same magazine, let's take a look at medical breakthroughs. New research is changing the future for older Americans. Here's a sampling of the good news. Breakthroughs in chronic pain. Whole health relief for pain management. Heath Hogg served for 22 years in the Army, Marine Corps, and National Guard, followed by 2 decades as a cop. "I beat my body up," he says. "My back, my feet, my knee, it all takes a toll." But now, Hogg, 54, of Christiansburg, Virginia, has found relief through the Salem Veteran Affairs Health Care System's innovative Prevail Center for Chronic Pain. The program gives veterans basic coping strategies through an online or face-to-face pain school, after which they meet for an hour with a caregiving team made up of a psychologist, a pharmacist, a dietitian, a physical therapist, and a physician specializing in pain, that creates a personalized 6-month treatment plan focused on healthy eating, exercise, spirituality, and reducing stress. He has lost 12 pounds by eating more produce and less packaged food. He will start cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia and has received injections to ease arthritis in his spine. Soon he hopes to get back to hiking with his wife. "The pain's going to be there," he says. "I'm learning ways to minimize it to lead a normal life." HAUG is among Prevail's first group of 280 participants who have reported that their pain is no longer controlling their life, says clinical psychologist Renee Courtney, director and creator of Prevail. "We start by asking, if you were in less pain, what would you be doing more of? We get answers like, 'I'd be playing with the grandkids,' or 'I'd be hunting or fishing,'" Courtney says. "We tell them, that's how we're going to know if we're successful, if you're doing more of that in 6 months." Chronic pain affects approximately 37.8 million midlife and older Americans, and nearly a third have high-impact pain that makes daily life difficult. In 2019, the Department of Veterans Affairs called on the National Academies of Science engineering, and medicine to study the potential of the whole health care model that Courtney and others at the VA are using to address chronic pain. Prevail is offered only at the Salem VAHCS. Courtney suggests civilians with chronic pain look for pain programs affiliated with medical schools or ask their doctor for referrals for help with diet, exercise, stress, sleep, and mental health. The VA's free online personal health inventory, va.gov/wholehealth/PHI.ASP, can help you get started. What matters is taking a holistic approach to pain management, says Courtney, one that treats the biological and emotional aspects. When I ask what happened to your pain when you're stressed, every single person says it gets worse, she says. If pain were just biological, that wouldn't matter. We have two sidebars on this page. One, on the horizon, new uses for naltrexone. Once prescribed for alcohol and opioid overuse, the drug naltrexone is getting new attention for its potential to ease pain from Crohn's disease, fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, and more. University of Kansas Medical Center scientists recently reviewed it, concluding that it shows promise, but more research is needed. Also, more chronic pain breakthroughs. Drug-free help for diabetic nerve pain. Early in 2023, the FDA approved the use of Eterna Proclaim Plus and Proclaim XR Spinal Cord Stimulation SCS systems to relieve lower extremity pain caused by diabetic peripheral neuropathy, DPN. The devices send mild electric signals to the spinal cord, reducing pain by an average of 53% in studies. Then virtual reality for back pain. A virtual reality program called Relieve RX by Applied VR successfully reduces back pain by half for 46% of users who followed the program daily for 8 weeks. Users of the prescription-only system put on a VR headset to learn cognitive behavioral skills for pain management, such as deep relaxation and breathing exercises. Sessions last 2 to 16 minutes. The program is currently available in some health systems and through the Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, under breakthroughs in women's health, 3D ultrasound for better mammograms. Lori Miller used to feel relieved when her mammogram results arrived in the mail. They're always normal, she says. But in recent years, there's been a puzzling postscript. The letter explains that I have dense breasts, which makes it harder to find cancer on a regular mammogram, she says. That made her normal results feel less than fully reassuring. This year, Miller, 58, a retired industrial engineer from Pontiac, Michigan, tried something new. First, she had a conventional mammogram. Then she walked down the hall at the Barbara Ann Karamanis Center Institute in Detroit for another screening recently granted pre-market approval by the Food and Drug Administration as an add-on cancer check for dense breasts called Soft View. It's a 3D whole breast ultrasound tomography system that sends sound waves to create a 360-degree image of the breast. The scan provides a more comprehensive look at the tissue and details of any changes without compressing the breast or sending radiation through it. Miller's results, normal. It was nice knowing the results would provide increased cancer detection, Miller says. Cancer risk is up to 4 times higher in dense breasts, probably because dense tissue has more cells that can become abnormal. And women with dense breasts may have higher levels of estrogen, which can increase the risk of cancer. Conventional mammograms may miss up to 40 to 60% of cancers in dense breasts, said Rachel Brem, MD, Director of Breast Imaging and Intervention at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Clinical data has shown that scans with SoftView plus a conventional mammogram found 20% more cancers than mammograms alone and were better at weeding out false positives, said Brehm. This is a new kind of ultrasound, she adds. It gives us more information about tissue character. A 2020 study found that the system measured breast tumor changes early in chemotherapy, potentially useful for seeing if the treatment is working. The system can also differentiate between malignant and benign masses, another study found. About 40% of women in their 50s and 30% of women 60 and older have dense breasts, but just 38 states require breast imaging centers to inform women of the issue. A new FDA rule requires all U.S. mammogram facilities to notify patients about their breast density starting in September 2024. The American Cancer Society suggests women with dense breasts discuss screening strategies with their doctors. And another women's health breakthrough, a little sidebar here, high-tech helps for incontinence. In a study, participants using a prescription-only pelvic floor training device called the Leva Pelvic Health System, which delivers feedback to a smartphone app, reported significantly greater improvement in incontinence than those who exercised on their own. And another little note on the horizon, bone health insights from astronauts. Several studies are delving into bone loss in astronauts on space flights, with results that could mean stronger skeletons and better fracture prevention on Earth. An incremental goal, new targets for osteoporosis-fighting treatments. Now, breakthroughs in cardiovascular disease. Device busts lung clots three ways. Tim Cronin, 82, felt short of breath as he raked leaves in his Warrington, Pennsylvania yard one Monday in November of 2019. By Friday, he could barely breathe. Large blood clots, pulmonary embolisms, had blocked blood flow in his lungs, boosting pressure on the right side of his heart and restricting delivery of blood to the rest of his body. Fortunately, his doctors had a new clot-busting treatment. Cronin became an early recipient of the Bashir endovascular catheter, a device that's threaded through the blood vessels to the lungs, then opens into an expandable infusion basket in the clot, creating multiple channels to allow for blood flow. While the catheter's arms spray a clot-dissolving drug directly into the blood clot. People clapped and yelled hooray when the first catheter was put in place, recalls Cronin, who was awake during the procedure. He needed two to open blockages in both lungs. He spent the first night at Doylestown Health with the device in place, returning home a few days later after the clots had diminished. Pulmonary embolisms, PEs, are the third leading cause of cardiovascular death in the U.S., behind heart attack and stroke, hospitalizing 350,000 people per year and causing more than 100,000 deaths. The clots usually form in deep veins in the legs and travel upward to the lungs, but the Bashir and Bashir SB endovascular catheters, cleared by the FDA in 2023 for pulmonary embolisms, are part of a growing number of treatments for medium-risk PEs, which affect up to 65% of people with the condition. PEs need aggressive care to prevent heart and lung damage. I wanted to design a device that creates multiple channels for blood to flow into the clot, bringing in the body's own clot-dissolving chemicals, says device inventor Riaz Bashir, MD, director of vascular and endovascular medicine at Temple University in Philadelphia. The device's catheter has six mini catheters that expand into the obstruction and then saturate it with a clot-busting drug. That reduces the dose of medicine, which reduces the risk for bleeding, Bashir said. 4 years after his lung clots, Cronin takes medicine to reduce his risk for further problems. My heart seems fine, he says, and I'm back to raking leaves. Now, two sidebar articles here. More cardiovascular breakthroughs. Women's Heart Centers A study found that women with a common but often overlooked type of heart disease caused by narrow or spasming arteries had major improvements in chest pain, anxiety, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels when they were treated at a women's heart center. A little pump lets the heart rest and recover. A tiny temporary pump is now available to give the heart time to get up to speed after right side heart failure. Implanted through a groin incision, the FDA-approved Impella RP system helps the heart move blood to the lungs to receive oxygen. And on the horizon, an experimental tattoo to track heart health. University of Texas at Austin scientists are studying a lightweight grid that spreads across the chest like a tattoo, monitoring electrical and acoustical signals from the heart without requiring the wearer to stay at a medical system. Now, AARP, the Bulletin, has an article about fixing the caregiving system. The article itself is a little bit too long for the time that we have left, but let's look at some of the faces of caregiving, which are sidebar articles with this article. Xavier Becerra, 65, Health and Human Services Secretary, caregiver for his parents. In 2017, I decided to make sure we got a house so we could have my parents move in with us. For those last few years that my dad was alive, we became his caregivers, especially during his last 6 months to 1 year during hospice care. My wife and I are very fortunate that we are able to afford it, because most families can't. In fact, many families do it even though they can't afford it because there's no choice. So, we're making sure Medicare adapts to provide families the opportunity to have the one you love stay with you instead of sending them off to a nursing home or some long-term care facility. You will find that now you will possibly qualify for federal support, financial support to care for your family members, because you're essentially doing what someone else would do if you had to send them off to a facility. That becomes a big game changer for families that want to provide the care but don't believe they have the financial capacity to offer it. If it were totally up to the amount of money that my wife's family saved the taxpayers caring for her parents, and how much my family saved the taxpayers by not sending our parents to long-term care facilities, it's got to be hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's not just about beauty and dignity. It's the smart thing to do. And now from Representative Judy Chu, 70, Democrat from California. Chu sponsored the Better Care, Better Jobs Act to beef up home and community-based care. She was a caregiver for her father, who had respiratory ailments. We did hire caretakers in shifts 24 hours a day, and that was to allow him to remain in the home, which was his greatest desire. He was in such capable hands during the hardest months of his life. Our caregivers play such an important role in so many family lives, but caregivers are not adequately paid. We also need to have expanded paid family and medical leave options so that those who have to stay home to care for a sick loved one are more easily able to do so. We need to have 12 weeks paid family leave and to be able to take care of parents. Everybody has the potential to face the same issue. This affects so many millions of families all across America. That's why we have to make the investment to improve our systems. And finally, in this section, Karen Alpert, 57, co-leads the Caregiver and Patient Engagement Work Group of the North Carolina Serious Illness Coalition. She was caregiver for her mother, who had multiple sclerosis and dementia. In my advocacy role, one of the biggest challenges I see is that there isn't a lot of help for people who are middle income. And so you wind up doing a lot on your own. You basically learn by doing. We help our volunteers use their lived experiences to advocate for better support in North Carolina. For instance, there's the Lifespan Respite Program. In our state, a caregiver could only get up to $500 toward respite, which, if you're dealing with someone with 24/7 needs, $500 isn't going to go very far. So it would be advocating for increased funding. Again, the name of her organization is the North Carolina Serious Illness Coalition. Now, we have time for a few little things under the heading of our lives now and then. How much or how little has the life of a 65-year-old changed between 1958 and today? Here are some surprising answers. There are a whole lot more of us. In 1958, 9% of Americans were 65 and older. Today, we total about 15 million in 2023. 17% of Americans are 65 and older, totaling almost 55 million. And we've come a long way, baby. Well-known people who turned 65 in 1958 included Mae West, Jimmy Durante, General Omar Bradley, and Mao Zedong. Celebs turning 65 this year include Madonna, Jamie Lee Curtis, Ellen DeGeneres, Andy McDonald, Kevin Bacon, and Ice-T. We bring in more cash. Median income for 65-plus households in 1958 was $2,666. Adjusted for inflation, that's $28,200 today. In 2023, that figure is $47,620. Then we're flying high. According to a 1959 report on airline traffic, 45 million passengers took to the skies the previous year. In 2022, airlines flew 853 million American passengers, even with pandemic-related drops in business travel and tourism. And we still drive, a lot. 1958, the average American motorist drove 9,500 miles, getting 14.2 miles per gallon. Average gas price was 31 cents per gallon, $3.27 today, adjusted for inflation. In 2023, the average American drives about 11,000 miles a year, getting 25.3 miles per gallon. Average gas price, $3.82 per gallon. Our largest companies have changed. In 58, General Motors, Jersey Standard, now ExxonMobil, Ford Motor Company, and U.S. Steel. In 2023, they are Walmart, Amazon, ExxonMobil, and Apple. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.